May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897. read from the book of Exodus, part of chapter 3 and chapter 4, beginning at the 11th verse of chapter 3 to the 17th verse of chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name for ever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbour, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said moreover furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee, instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. May the Lord bless his word, and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, we need thee now to rend the heavens and to come down. We may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls, that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, as we gather this evening, we pray thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Thou knowest, Lord, the exercise, the burden of each one of thy dear children. And oh, we would seek for grace to cast all our burdens, all our cares into thy hand, that we might leave them all with thee. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way, and to the end. And O Lord, as we venture to the throne of grace, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, that name that prevails above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt Give us that needed grace to confess our many, many sins before Thee. Oh, we pray for that real heart confession, that God-given repentance Thou dost give to Thy dear people. We may truly, as Job did, abhor ourselves and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, we pray that we may come like the publican, begging and pleading for mercy. And oh, that Thou wouldst wash us, dear Lord, in that precious blood of Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, that Thou wouldst come and seal pardon to each sin-sick soul, that we may know our pardon signed and our peace procured. Oh, we pray for Thee to quicken us into life and make us, Lord, real in the vital things of God. Oh, that we may be found in the way of the living. Oh, do save us from just a form and husk of religion. May we ever be burdened and concerned and exercised to make our calling and election sure, and to be found among Thy living family. Oh, that we may have that real hunger and thirst, dear Lord, for Thee and for Thy truth. For Thou hast said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And oh, we would come, dear Lord, pleading that Thou would undertake for us in all that concerns us. And knowest the inward concerns of each of Thy dear children, Lord. Oh, it's the concerns that there are regarding our souls and a vast eternity. Oh, that Thou wouldst come and assure us that we are one of Thy children, that Thou hast chosen us ere time began, that we are found in that way of the living, and among Thy living family. O Lord, may the prayer of the hymn writer be our fervent petition. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Knowest those, Lord, that are longing for a token for good. Oh, we would plead as the psalmist did, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Oh, that Thou wouldst grant, Lord, that sweet token of Thy precious blood, and that Thou wouldst seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. May they have that sweet assurance that they shall not seek Thy face in vain. And those, dear Lord, that may be exercise and concern regarding their pathways, and knowest, Lord, the troubles that arise, the temptations, the many snares of Satan and of sin. Oh, we do beg for Thy blessed appealing to each exercise longing soul. And, O Lord, may there be found in us each that real appetite for the truth, that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, do come, Lord, and reveal Thyself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. We pray for thee to guide us each in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. And oh, that we may be guided by thy counsel and afterward receive to glory. Oh, do soften our hearts, Lord. We mourn because of the hardness and coldness of our hearts so often. Oh, that we may have that truly soft heart, which dear Job was blessed with, for God maketh my heart soft. Take away all rebelliousness and hardness from us, Lord, but give us grace to be submissive to thy mind and thy will. Ever keep us from murmuring and complaining. And help us, dear Lord, to ever be at thy feet, humbled in the dust. Oh, we pray for that grace of humility to be given, and that we may humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, that we may be exalted in due time. Dear Lord, do bless thee, dear children, the little ones that gather. May they in early days be given an aching void which this world can never fill. May they truly seek thy face, dear Lord. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, that there may be those that gather here on thy day in their early days, be brought to seek thy face. Remember the dear young people, Lord. Bless those at school who help them and be with them and keep them by thy mighty power. Those that studying in college, university, and those seeking employment, Lord, we pray that thou wilt provide for them and make a way. And those, dear Lord, that seeking a husband or seeking a wife, we pray that thou wilt provide for them. And as thou didst to those precious souls in thy word, we pray thou wilt in these dark and solemn days. And oh, do remember those in relationships, Lord, and those hoping to be married this year, if it be thy will. We pray that thou wilt be with them in all the preparation and all the things that concern them and exercise them and burden. Who help them to commit it all into thy blessed hands. May they see thy goodness pass before them in the way. Oh, do undertake, Lord. And thou knowest, Lord, the many snares and dangers there are in the journey for the young and each of us, Lord, and how we need to be kept. Oh, do keep us from the wiles of the devil and all the snares there are. One said, dangers of every shape and form. Oh, do keep us from them, Lord, and keep us looking unto thee. Grant us that singleness of eye and faith. Remember all that in middle age and the varied burdens and cares they have, Lord, we pray that thou would undertake and make a way where there seems no way. And, oh, deliver thy people in all the many things they have to wade through. And may they see thy delivering hand. Do remember those that are aged, Lord. We think of our dear friend in her great age and weakness. And others, Lord, throughout this land and throughout the earth in the evening time of life, who come and assure them that it is well, and prepare them and prepare us each to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. We beg of thee to remember those in affliction, to heal them if it's thy will, and make their beds in these afflictions. May these things all be sanctified, Lord, and all thy dealings with us, that our souls may be profited by them, and thy precious name honoured and glorified. And do comfort all that are weeping and mourning, Lord. Thou knowest how many tears are shed by thy dear children, both in their hearts and too from their eyes, Lord. Lord, we pray that thou wilt send the blessed Comforter to them. For thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Do bring to fruition the exercises of thy people that are real. Lord, may there be those sweet confirmations, those tokens of thy love and assurances that those exercises are of thee. And may there be those constrained, Lord, to follow thee in thy sweet commandments. May thy people be made willing in the day of thy power. And may there be real travail in the churches, Lord, that there may be yet many born again. And may there be those brought forth to follow thee and to crown thee Lord of all. Oh, that Zion may be yet built up and prospered, thy servants graciously encouraged. And oh, may there be that real fruit following the preaching of the word. Dear Lord, may we not just beat the air this evening or spend our strength for naught, but may thy word be applied with divine power. And bless the deacons here and give them all needed wisdom and grace in all the affairs of this cause of truth. And do bless the hymns they give out, and may there be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Oh, do come where each one is tonight, Lord. Leave us not nor forsake us. And remember those that have no desire to come, Lord, and those that fear thee not. Oh, do put thy grace and fear in many, and may there be an awakening even of this in this village of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And we pray for our nation, Lord, thou would hear the prayers of thy people for thy appearing in the land. Save us from all the laws that are contrary to thy word. The many things that are being imposed upon us, Lord, that are contrary to thee and to thy truth. Oh, that thou wouldst yet appear and overturn and overturn. And in the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still. And may thy grace and fear be put in our leaders and rulers and all that bear office in the land, our Queen and the royal household. And may we yet see thy hand working wondrously, the wonders God alone can do. And look upon all that are oppressed and persecuted, and those in war-torn lands, we pray thou wilt yet send peace, and put down all the terrorists and evil men, and all those that would take the privileges we're favoured with from us. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies, all thy goodness to us. And knowest how often we have to say with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. Do help us as we turn to thy holy word. Do pour in, dear Lord, that we might pour out. And may we be this night the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. Grant a true spirit of hearing. And oh, may there be the blessed application of thy word. Hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive, we beseech thee. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go, till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face, mine's an urgent pressing case. 376.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 81 and the last part of verse 10. Psalm 81 and the last part of the 10th verse. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm 81 and the latter part of verse 10, I'll read the whole verse. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. We find here, beloved friends, the Lord speaking to his dear people. And may this be the voice of the Lord to each of our souls tonight. He says, I am the Lord thy God. What a happy soul you will be and I if the Lord were to whisper that to us tonight. And only he can. I am the Lord thy God. What a blessed word of sweet assurance to a well-exercised child of God to know from heaven, from the Lord's own lips, that we are his children and he our God. But here he reminds them of how he brought them out of Egypt, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. We know Moses was the instrument in God's hand to bring the children of Israel out, but you know it was the Lord's work from beginning to end. And if he is to bring us, oh, he has brought us out of this world and the pleasures of it, we need to truly praise and bless his holy name, because it is only the Lord can do it. And he has all power today to bring his dear children out of Egypt, out of this world. And he will do it by his mighty power. We read of it, didn't we, in the book of Exodus this evening, how he brought them out and how he was to use Moses, but I'll come to that later. I really want to look at this last clause. It's rested upon me soon after we got to our friend's home after the prayer meeting last night. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And as soon as the Lord dropped it into my heart, it came to me in five ways. And as help this evening, I want to set those five things before you. Open thy mouth wide. Now, this was the instruction given by the Lord to the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. They got to open their mouth wide and then for him to fill it. So before them was a blessed prospect, really. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a blessed prospect to our religion. The late Mr. Sperling Tyler used to so often put that question to his congregations, what sort of prospect is there before you? You see, the Lord, when he brought the children of Israel out of the promised land, out of Egypt, he set before them the promised land. There was this blessed prospect set before them. They would enter into Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But let us look at these five things that the Lord seemed to lay upon me as soon as the text came. First of all, open thy mouth wide in prayer. Secondly, open thy mouth wide that he might feed you with heavenly food. Because as they went through the wilderness, you know, they would have to open their mouth to be fed. Thirdly, to open our mouth to speak of what he has done for us. And fourthly, this is a word for every God-sent servant, really, every time he ventures to go to preach, he should open his mouth wide for the Lord to fill it. And then, of course, the final point must be this. Open our mouth wide to praise and bless his holy name. And you think of that, there are really five vital points in this text, really. Well, let us look a little, and I'll be brief on each, but because many sermons could be preached on it. Open thy mouth wide in prayer. Our dear brothers, hymns tonight were on this blessed subject. Or they were. Open thy mouth wide and beg of the Lord to fill it with real fervent prayer. We sung, didn't we, just now of dear old Jacob. You look how he had to open his mouth to plead with the God of heaven for that blessing indeed. And you look how the Lord filled him with that prayer he must utter. You know, it's those prayers, as the hymn writer said, that are indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And he's promised the children of Israel, as they ventured out of Egypt into that wilderness journey, they got to open their mouth wide. And you think of how many times they had to open it in prayer before the God of heaven. There's a beautiful word in the hymn, isn't there? 270, I think it is. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls will wield it best. And you think of that tonight. You may say, well, Lord, I'm so poor, I'm so weak, I'm so feeble. My cries, my groans, my sighs seem so poor. But oh, is not the Lord pour in that prayer, filling you, so you can't do anything, only commit your way and to the Lord and cast all your cares upon him? And Jacob said, you see, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And you know, the Lord gave him that fervent prayer, but you look where he was in the midst of trouble, wasn't he? Esau and those 400 men against him. You know, so often the best prayers go out of our hearts when we are in the depths or when we are under pressure. Maybe from Satan or from sin or troubles of circumstance or troubles of soul. And we pour out our hearts. The cry goes forth, open thy mouth wide. It may be in a certain matter you're in tonight. It may be in your pathway. It may be in some small thing, but it's a great trouble to you. Think sometimes of the dear children at school, you know, when they have exams and they get to a question they cannot understand, And I have heard of several cases, you know, over the years of these little children crying unto the Lord in that exam, Lord, show me what I have to do in it. Show me what to write. Now, I use that as a simple illustration, you see, and it may be in your pathway tonight. Are those things, you look at them, they seem impossible to you, and the great burden upon you. Open thy mouth wide. Now, that's the instruction I preach it to myself. The trouble is we don't, do we? We think we can manage this, and we think we can manage that, and we take it for granted the Lord will bring us through it, when we should be opening our mouth wide. And when it says our mouth wide, it doesn't just mean literally and naturally, it means opening our heart wide to the Lord, spreading it all before him. Like dear Hannah, you remember how Eli completely misjudged her and thought she was drunken. But what did she do? She opened her mouth. We don't read that she said anything, only her lips moved. But she cried unto the God of heaven, didn't she? And the Lord filled her with that real prayer. And if you and I are given grace, this is what we've got to do. It may be, this is a word for you tonight, regarding the afflictions you may be in, the troubles of circumstance, the troubles in the family, burdens upon you. It may be concerning your work or the future. Open thy mouth wide. The instruction is clear, isn't it? This is what is so real about when the Lord speaks to his dear children. He gives them that clear instruction such as this. Open thy mouth wide. Why? The Lord says, and I will fill it. I will fill it. And you look how he filled the heart and mouth of dear Hezekiah. How he had to open his mouth wide, didn't he? Think of that beautiful prayer. Oh, I love that prayer, you know. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And you know, it was only the Lord that could undertake for him, wasn't it? No man could help him. And he needed the Lord to undertake for him in so many ways. And it may be with you tonight. You look in your soul and, Lord, there's all these burdens because of my sin. There's all the exercise concerning my soul and eternity. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? That is your cry, you see. And you have to open your mouth wide. And then as you look at the pathway, you say, well, this seems impossible, Lord, and that seems impossible. I will fill it. This is what the Lord has promised. There's a clear instruction, but there's a wonderful blessing to flow from it because the Lord will fill it. He's promised. And you can plead this before the Lord and take it back to him and say, Lord, thou didst say thou wilt fill it. Well, you look at the case of the dear publican. When he went up to the temple to pray, the dear man opened his mouth wide, didn't he? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord filled him with that prayer, you know. It wasn't just words. And you look how the Lord answered him. Gave him his request, and he went down to his house justified. Rather than the other. Open thy mouth wide. Well, you think of it tonight, what you may be in, I don't know, but the Lord does. You may say, Lord, take away all this sin that plagues me, that troubles me. And it may be Satan buffeting you on every side. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. It's not the volume of words, you know, that are uttered. It's the reality of the cry. That's what I love so about the Psalms, you know. We find so often, don't we, the dear psalmist crying unto his God. And I've often thought about it, you know, the little babe, and those of you who've got little ones tonight, they cannot tell you exactly what they need, can they? Their dear mother or father. But they can cry. They open their mouth and they cry because they're in need. And think about it spiritually. What do we read? You go into Psalm 107. The places where the Lord brought them into deep places. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Not before. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. Oh, open thy mouth wide. If nothing this evening, may this text be applied to each of us. Open thy mouth wide. Not somebody else's, thy mouth. You see, the Lord spoke it to them personally, individually. Open thy mouth wide. And I will fill it. And he'll fill it with the best prayers that are ever uttered, but he will. Think about Jacob. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And what did the Lord do? He blessed him there, didn't he? Oh, he did. Well, I leave that thought for your meditation. Open thy mouth wide in fervent prayer. It may be for the things that concern you personally, or it may be collectively. And I will fill it. And then let's look at the second. You see, as they went out of Egypt, they were going into a waste, howling wilderness. They needed feeding. Open thy mouth wide. You know, it came to me like this, you use a simple illustration. If we're spared in the next few weeks, no doubt, as the spring draws near, the little birds will be hatching. And you look at little birds in their nest. What do they do? As soon as a mother or father bird draws near, they open their mouth, don't they? And they open it wide, don't they? They want food. And think about the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. Now, they needed it, and so do we, in two ways. They needed the Lord to feed them, naturally, with food for their body, for the sustenance of the body. As they went through that wilderness, we can look back, can't we, several of us tonight, if not all, and see how the Lord has fed us. But oh, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to feel as we go to the table for a meal, that the provision of the Lord. But how can you partake of it? Only by opening your mouth. We can't partake without it, can we? Open thy mouth wide. It speaks, really, and I seek to be led into this, of hunger, you see. Jesus said, didn't he, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, the only reason a little babe craves the breast and craves milk, isn't it, as soon as it's born, is because it's got a appetite, a hunger. If it's not got a hunger or appetite, it'll never feed. I saw when I was out this afternoon, your mother feeding her little babe, and You know, I thought of this text, you see, open thy mouth. The child, little babe, was crying, and then she gave it that milk which it so needed. And oh, it opened its mouth ready for it, you see. Now think about it spiritually. And we think of our godly forefathers, how many miles they used to walk to hear the truth preached. Why? Because there was such a hunger in their souls. We've been reading up of the late Mr. Cowper at the Dicker, you know, the first pastor there, and the congregation. There was no chapel in Eastbourne in those days. They used to walk with all their family, the children, and the parents walked from Eastbourne 10 miles. They used to walk to hear him preach through the villages, not the roads there are today. Back in the 1800s, early 1800s, and you know, oh, the dear man said, he said, I used to get in that pulpit feeling so poor, so helpless. Lord, how shall I preach? And he said, I looked at the congregation, there was about 800 there. And the miles they walked, why? Because there was such an appetite, you see. They came hungry. Their mouths were open, Lord, do feed us in our souls. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. When was the last time you opened your mouth and you had a few crumbs from the Master's table? Well, let us go further. We open our mouth and the Lord filled us with the good things of the gospel. What did the word of God tell us? And Jesus set it forth, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. And oh, we need that faith, don't we? To partake, you see. And faith will be reaching out for that heavenly food. You won't want something that just, and we live in a solemn day, and I say this guardedly, but you know, where many want to come and be entertained for an hour. We want that pure gospel truth wrought in our souls by the Holy Spirit. And who will receive it? Those that open their mouth wide for it. In real need, you see. Think of the little babe, if that's ill and some affliction upon it, he doesn't want food, does he? But oh, if that's healthy, and the same applies spiritually, if there's real health in our souls, we will open our mouth wide for the Lord to fill it. Oh, think of that tonight. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is what the Saviour said in his Sermon on the Mount. Open thy mouth wide. Oh, I think back of a few times where we went up to the house of God with our mouth open wide to receive that heavenly food. And what is the heavenly food the sinner needs? Well, there's several ways we could look at that. First, a precious Christ, feeding upon him by living faith. And then feeding on the sweet promises that he speaks to his dear people. It's food to the hungry soul. And then under the gospel ministry, the preaching of the glorious gospel of the dear Redeemer is food for hungry sinners. It's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You may say, well, I try to, time and time again when I go up to the house of God, but I seem to come away empty. What does the hymn writer say? He will not send them empty back or fright them from the door. The day will come when he'll bring you to the banqueting house, and his banner over you will be love. Oh, think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. He brought me, she says. She didn't bring herself. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And she knew what it was to feed upon him. Everything she needed, you see, was in the dear Redeemer. Food for hungry souls. Do you know what it is to open your mouth wide in prayer, and the Lord would feed you as he goes, so you go to the Word of God, and he speaks through as you read the Word, and the Word is food for your soul. And it carries you. You see, it's partaking. To see good bread and wine is not to eat and drink. You need to partake of it, you see. Being partakers of heavenly food. Open thy mouth wide. You know, I think of a few times over the years, when one wants to speak of it personally, but, you know, when I've gone to preach and I thought, however can I preach, Lord? And I remember going to Ashwell one Tuesday night. I felt to be at the ends of the earth. And, you know, I got in the pulpit and I said, Lord, I'm empty. I'm helpless. I can't do anything. All I could do was fall into the Lord's hand. And he poured in, you know. And helped me to preach that night, and oh, the sweet liberty I felt. And after the service, dear old Mrs. Gurney, she said to me, you know, she said, I came up hungering for a crumb from heaven tonight, and the Lord has given it to me. And you know, if you have hungry souls, a God-sent servant has hungry souls in the congregation, they make him preach. Oh, they will, because they draw it out, because there's such hunger, you see. Oh, yes. It's like that little babe as it sucks the breast. It draws the milk out because it's hungry. And if there's a real hunger in this solemn day, there's a hunger for the world, there's a hunger for pleasure, there's a hunger for natural religion. And that's just because it's the carnal man hungering for it. But those that hunger after real things, it'll be none but Jesus can do them good. They want living food. You read in John chapter 6, I think it is, where he speaks about he's the bread of life. And the word that he speaks to them is bread to them. They can feed on it and grow. But I must leave that point for your meditation. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will fill it. Oh, think of the sweet promise, you know. I cannot get away from that. I will fill it, the Lord says. You may have come tonight absolutely empty, and it is these empty souls that need filling, isn't it? You go to the Elisha's day when the dear widow woman, the creditor, came to take away her two sons. And oh, you think of what the prophet said to her, what hast thou in the house? Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he commanded her to send her sons to go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels. They got to be empty. Why? Because they were all to be filled. And the Lord does fill his people from time to time with the goodness of it and the riches of heaven. I will fill it. I will fill it. Oh, may the Lord grant you that to take home tonight. I will fill it. Nobody else can. Only the Lord. But then let us look at the third point. Oh, to have our hearts filled that we might speak. You may have wondered, and I say this lovingly tonight, why we read that together, that sacred portion in Exodus. There may be one here feeling just like Moses. Lord, I cannot speak. I'm slow of speech. But oh, what a mercy it is to have something to speak of. Open our mouth and the Lord fill it, to tell of the wonders he alone has done for us. Or you think of Moses, and it seemed to so come to me regarding what to read this evening, of what the Lord said to him. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? You know, we so often use our mouth to complain. We sung of it last night, didn't we? And we so often use it to murmur. But how often do we use it to the glory of God? And what does the Lord say to Moses? Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Oh, think of it. This is what the Lord told the dear man. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And then this word, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and teach you what ye shall do. And oh, you see, the Lord was to come over all the imperfection that Moses had and to speak. And he got to speak. And think how many times dear Moses was used as God's messenger to the people. And the Lord gave him that to speak. I've told you before that when I went before the church in 1963 to cast in my lot with them, I shall never forget sitting in the vestry, and I felt myself to be absolutely empty and helpless, and the devil said, oh, you'll get there and you'll never say a word. And you know, as I sat there pleading with the Lord dropped this text which we have tonight before us, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And you know, as I ventured into that meeting, all I felt to do was open my mouth, and the Lord spoke. He'll put words in thy mouth. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, to be able to speak as he You open your mouth and he will speak. And that's blessed, you know, when the Lord enables us to do that. Open our mouth wide and speak of the goodness that he has sowed on for us and in us. And speak of how he's answered our prayers. And speak to the glory of God for his eternal praise. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And the Lord does, you know, his dear people. He will give thee in that hour that which thou shalt speak. You know, if we often want it beforehand, don't we? But the Lord promised the disciples, didn't he? That when they should be led up and questioned and oppressed and persecuted by the enemies, he says, think not what ye shall speak, but in that hour it shall be given you. In that hour. The hour of need, you see. Open thy mouth wide. And there may be one exercise tonight concerning speaking of what the Lord has done. Open thy mouth wide. May this word carry you. And I will fill it, the Lord said. And you'll prove, poor soul, that what he has said will never return void. It's a wonderful word that is in Isaiah, isn't it? But it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Open thy mouth wide. Speak well of him. And we think of what we sang last evening and that beautiful hymn concerning this, you see, as I did hint at it just now, of how soon we complain. Have I no words? I think again. Words flow apace when I complain. And fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to go to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Well, let me use an illustration just briefly. You think of what Christ said to Legion. Go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. And all he got to do was go home and open his mouth and tell. The Lord was to fill it. But then, I must be brief, but then we think of the fourth thing, that this is a blessed word for every God-sent servant. To open his mouth and for the Lord to speak. That's the vital thing. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. My mind goes to dear Philip. You remember when he went down to Gaza, sent there by the angel of heaven, the Lord Jesus, and down in that desert, as the eunuch was reading in the prophecy of Isaiah, what did Philip do? He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But he opened his mouth. You know, it was very sweet to me as I thought on this text, you know, how Philip just opened his mouth and the Lord filled it. And look at the sweet fruit that followed it. You see, it's only God that can give the increase. Now, this is a beautiful word for every God-sent servant. Open thy mouth wide. Every time he ventures forth, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And oh, there have been those times, haven't there, over the years where the Lord has used his dear servants and they've opened their mouth and the Lord has spoken through them. It's not been the minister. The word came from heaven. And may the Lord grant it in 2016 that there may be those that venture forth in the ministry, whether they've been in it years or whether it be a present day. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And as I look back over the 50 years now we've been in the ministry, I stand amazed how many times I've just opened my mouth and the Lord has spoken. I will fill it, he says. And he hasn't ever failed me, you see. The Lord won't fail his people. He'll fill them. Now think of that tonight, where it's in your soul, in your pathway. I will fill it, whether it's concerning prayer, whether it's for the hunger of your soul, I will fill it. Or whether it be in speaking well of him. When I first went in the ministry, one of the old servants of God, he said to me, you know, ever speak well of the dear Redeemer. Ever lift him high on the gospel pole. You know, really, there's every God-sent servant, there's two things he should preach. Preach the sinner down. And lift up a precious Jesus. Preach the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the preciousness of Christ. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But then just briefly, concerning the last point. You know, it's something I feel myself personally come so short in. And that is opening our mouth wide and giving the Lord the praise. You know, you may open your mouth wide and you get answers to those prayers, but how soon we forget to give the Lord the praise. Let me just remind you of one or two cases in Holy Writ. We think of dear Hannah. She opened her mouth wide in prayer and the Lord filled it, didn't he? But you go into the next chapter where she opened her mouth wide and look how the Lord enabled her to praise his blessed name. Oh, that sweet song of deliverance. The Lord had given her a request. Not just as Samuel, but the blessing of Christ in her heart as her only hope, her only way of salvation. And the dear Redeemer made so precious to her. The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, but he raiseth up. And oh, she could bless his holy name, couldn't she? Go into the Psalms, think of that 103rd Psalm. The dear psalmist knew what it was to be in the depths, but then the Lord brings him to praise his blessed name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget the praise, poor soul. And then think of dear Hezekiah, and then we must leave it. How he opened his mouth. The living, he says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Oh, his very soul could praise his God. And he opened his mouth wide to praise him. The fullness of this will be known in glory. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing his blessed praise. Won't I? Oh, may it be so. Crown him Lord of all. It's be tasted here with the fullness of it to be known in heaven. To join in the everlasting song. It's beautiful words, really, aren't they? And crown him, Lord of all. Well, I've scratched around the surface, beloved friends, but may the Holy Spirit apply the text to us. Open thy mouth wide. It's what the Lord has said, not what I've said. And I, the Lord speaking, will fill it. And may you prove it, and may I. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman next Friday evening. Let us close by singing hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would relieve him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. 804.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, who forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss, who bless thy own word, come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep, may there be a little that abides. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.